Oh, the focus today being on our wonderful music, our scripture passages this morning, I think bring us to a new awareness in terms of what they have to say about a relationship. And that relationship is between the spiritual world and the material world, between just between God's spirit and our own. And this relationship, as in any relationship, is based on communication. Now, in biblical language, how God's presence gets communicated, one of the ways, is referred to as God's voice, which doesn't literally mean words, but God's voice, the cosmic utterance, affecting things into being, or sound. And then to complete the circuit of communication, we have our response as human beings to God's voice. And when we turn to the book of Genesis that sets the stage for this, we have our first passage, which is sometimes referred to as how God spoke the world into being and gave voice to creation itself. God giving voice to creation. Now, when we hear that, a bell might go off in our mind thinking about voice and creation and the word vocation, where vocum means voice and the suffix ation means to take action. So here we have God's vocation as that power or that driving force giving voice to action and creation. That's God's vocation. That's what God did. Then the next passage we're going to hear from Psalms, which is our book of songs, is humanity's response to God's voice. How? Through our voice. Through song, through singing, through praise. And then third, we hear in the Gospel of John, we hear how God spoke the word again, but this time how God's word became flesh and dwelt among us through the person of Christ. And we have a fourth passage where we hear Paul's letter to the Ephesians, how the early church then responded to this word made flesh by becoming a singing church. That's how it describes itself, giving voice to their faith. So this relationship is like this give and take, like this dance back and forth between God and between humanity. And God leads by speaking, by affecting, metaphorically, by expressing, giving tangible form to what otherwise would be just this ethereal presence, and creating form and then humanity's song and response. So with that little bit of a background and kind of a mental structure, let's listen now as we begin in Genesis, where it's written, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God said, let the waters under the sky be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And then God said, let the earth put forth vegetation. And God said, let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night. And God said, God uttered into being, let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind. And then God said, and let us make humanity in our image according to our likeness. And it was so. And that's Genesis. Psalm 95, we hear humanity's response. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to God with songs of praise. And God speaks again in John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And then from Ephesians, the response to God's Word that became flesh, Paul writes, live in love, As Christ loved you, for once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of light. And try to find out what is pleasing to God. Listen to that harmony. And be filled with the Spirit as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart. All your heart. May God bless our understanding and our living and our singing of this word. Amen. So on this Sunday, when we appreciate and celebrate the musical gifts of our congregation, which are so many, it's also a day when we celebrate music itself as an integral part of worship and our relationship and communication from God and with God. And it's also time to consider music as a part of our spiritual history as well, as we consider the essence of music itself, what music is, what music does to us as human beings. And since we began with Genesis means the beginning, let's start with creation itself. Okay. Interestingly, in terms of creation, where we are told that everything was created by God, that God said, and then after that utterance, pa-poom, everything came to be. Incredibly far-fetched. There's a scientific article published May 20th, 2014. It says, humanity's understanding of the universe took a giant leap forward 50 years ago today, which was May 20th, 1964, when American radio astronomers Robert Wilson and Arno Penzias discovered the cosmic microwave background radiation, CMB. Penzias said, when we first heard that inexplicable hum in the cosmos, we didn't understand its significance, and we never dreamed that it would be connected to the origins of our universe. What he's referring to is when they discovered, somewhat by accident, the CMB, the cosmic microwave background radiation, the thermal echo. And it was an echo of the universe's explosive birth. When the background hum of creation's birth could be detected, and from that initial expanse of instantaneous, as close to instantaneous as you can possibly get, of a trillionth of 1 second of how creation came to be out of nowhere from nothing. And scientists say that the Big Bang sounded like a giant hum, where from the single point of nothingness, in this 1 trillionth of 1 second, creation was voiced into existence. With that bang, with that hum, that was so pervasive, from that nothing to a trillionth of a second, from nothing, we then have something that was more than half of the size of our current cosmos in a trillionth of a second. And then, still within that 1 second, that unbelievable expansiveness that was millions of times faster than the speed of light slowed. And it slowed to its about current rate for the next 13.8 billion years. If anyone earlier than 50 years ago would have ever said that every particle in existence in the entire cosmos ever came from a single point that in one trillionth of a second all of a sudden took the space of more than half of the size of our entire cosmos today, we would say that's absolutely insane, crazy. And it was even impossible according to the laws of physics then. No universe, no time, no space. Trillionth of a second later, distances of thousands of millions and billions of light years away. Don't blink, literally, or you miss it. Except for this lasting impact of that moment that gets left behind that now we can listen to. The reverberations of that initial unfathomable sound, the hum of existence, of when everything came to be voiced into being, CMB. This is a Sunday when we celebrate this deeply rooted connection of God's voice and that tangible expression that becomes material of God's Spirit with our own. We see this in our scripture passages. We see this in Genesis that dates back to almost 3,000 years. We see this in the Psalms that dates back about 2,500 years, 2,400 years. We see this in the Gospel of John and the letter of Ephesians that go back about 2,000 years. We notice this relationship between God's voice and our own soul goes back a long way to the roots of our Judeo-Christian spirituality and worship. The interesting thing is that it's not just us. And thankfully, you know, if you strike on something that is true and real, you actually hope and you expect that anything that reveals itself in this way, where there's an underlying universal truth, that other people would notice this and pick this up, right? The interesting thing is the relationship between God's presence in our souls and creation itself and God's voice and our voice is there. In the Hindu tradition, creation also begins with a spoken word. Interestingly, the sound of the great Om, and from that, everything manifests. In the Mayan language, there's a poem, the Popol Vuh, and it describes the arrival of men on earth through the power of the word. Many North American Native tribes also share in this. The Athabascan tribe of Western Canada believes that God, the god Asinthma, wove songs into the great blanket of the earth and created the world. With the Hopi Indians, a goddess created all forms of life on earth and breathed life into them by singing a creation song. Even with the Aborigines in Australia, who had said that their history goes back 150,000 years, song lies at the very heart of their creation myth. So we have this interrelationship between God's Spirit and our presence that comes to life in word and song, and we realize that it's a universal theme, way bigger than just our Judeo-Christian heritage alone. Why is that? Well, maybe for one thing, because it reflects a certain truth of how things happened. With God and creation and human nature and sound. It's one reason why it's a universal theme. Two, another is the fact that music and song are inseparable actually with life itself. Not just at the time of creation, but with every new creation. We think about what happens when a baby's born. What's the very first thing that happens? As a baby makes a sound, and that sound signals that it is alive, and it cries out into the world, and that sound continues with us as we grow, conveying emotion, communicating, expressing the ineffable, expressing our soul. We think about language itself, and it's very interesting. If you think about your own language, your own sentences that you speak, that there's this inseparable relationship that we have with sound and music. We may not even be consciously aware of what we're saying so many times with phrases like, does that strike a chord with you? Do you resonate with that? Or do I sense some discord here? Maybe we should try working in concert. Or I guess we could just play it by ear, so that we can create harmony and work in syncopation and find our rhythm. Unless, I don't know, maybe we're just singing a different tune here. Or maybe we're just marching to the beat of what? A different drummer. We know. One, music is an integral part of our spiritual history and creation itself. Two, music and sound are an integral part of our history and culture of the world. Three, deeply integrated into our contemporary culture, reflected in our language. And then four, which is very interesting, in a present day, in the moment, in now, in your lives, it's why it permeates our life and faith and culture. Because why? Because music heals. Music heals. Dr. Mitchell Gaynor. Is a medical oncologist. You might expect to hear that music heals from ancient or non-scientific or religious mumbo jumbo culture or whatever. Dr. Mitchell Gaynor is a medical oncologist, and he wrote a book called The Sounds of Healing. And in the book he writes, he says, I subscribe to the belief that is well researched that what happens to us on the emotional and spiritual level affects us physiologically. No big surprise. In his book, he describes in some detail how, along with traditional methods of medicine and chemotherapy that he uses with his patients, oncology patients, he says, quote, chanting, listening to music, playing bells, hand cymbals, wind gongs, drums, helps heal our minds as well as our bodies. And it literally brings us into that state of being which we naturally seek and brings us into harmony. He points out that all of these modalities are united by certain underlying principles, the most important of which is the tendency towards harmony in nature, which researchers have confirmed, he says, as a universal rule. So he uses music as a part of the healing process, and he's not alone. Dr. David Simon, medical director of the neurological services of Sharp Cabrillo Hospital in San Diego, also attests that, quote, healing chants and music have measurable physiological effects. And Dr. Mark Ryder, a research psychologist, quote, has conducted the largest series of studies to date that highlight the powerful positive influence that music has on protective cells, the protective cells of our immune system. Dr. Gaynor's main premise, though, that he actually employs as a standard part of his medical practice as an MD is the idea that every person has what he calls a life song. A life song. A particular song of their life. We each have a life song. And he writes, finding your life song will allow you to explore your essence and discover your own innate healing abilities. And he actually cites 250 empirical studies that demonstrate the beneficial health effects in regards to this life song idea. And he also says, what so many of my patients have in common is not the specifics of their disease, but rather their inability to hear their personal life song. Reminds me of that quote, don't die with your music still inside of you. And I think we know intuitively what that means. We feel that. Along these lines, it was said of the early Christians that their song was a song of thanks. Their song was a song of praise. Their song was a song of community gathered and understanding and giving and resolve and healing. That was the song of their life. That's how they worshiped. But more, that's how they lived. That's how they survived. That's how they thrived. That's how they thrived against unspeakable odds and suffering and persecution, because they were singing their song. And that's what their song was. In the face of whatever confronted them, their song that they kept singing was of thanks and faith and joy, which doesn't just sound nice, right? But it actually changes you. What song you sing. You know, circumstances happen to us all the time. Things that are out of our control. But we choose our response. We choose our song that we sing back to life. Whatever that may be. So as we close today, I invite you to ask yourself today and to think about it this week. What's the song of your life? Is it a healing song? Is it a lonely song? Is it a happy song? A purposeful song? Maybe a march. Is it a frantic song? Like Flight of the Bumblebee, right? I know that is many of your people's songs. Is it an angry song? Is it a woeful song of despair and how heavy the world is and adversity? Are you singing the blues? Or is your life song one of triumph over adversity? Is your life song going to go out with a bang? Is it still building to a crescendo, or is it slowly fading away? Or do you feel like you're just lip syncing? Is your song one that others are going to remember or be forgotten? What is your song of life? How healing? How is it healing you? And how may it be hurting you? As the scriptures say, and I love this, try to find out. In Ephesians, try to find out what is fulfilling. Try to find out that harmony. Try to find out what is pleasing to God. That's how it puts it. How you fit in. So you're not in discord with life, and be filled with the Spirit. As you sing and you make melody to God, your creator of life, with all of your heart, may you be well. May God fill your heart with a song of strength and triumph and joy. And joy. Amen. Our God of our world and our communities, and God of our families and our bodies and our souls, we pray for so many concerns, but we also pray for thanksgivings and celebrations as well. We pray for our needs, and we pray and thanks for all that we're able to give. We pray for concerns of the world, and we also pray for beauty with thanks, with marvel, with wonder. And with the warming and spring-like sun that we've been having here in February. We're aware of the ever-changing and always recreating and renewing nature of your world and our place in it. And with the amazing amount of variety of life and experiences that you give us, where you sustain us through the night, where when we open our eyes in the morning and take our first breath, hopefully we're aware and give you thanks, God, for our life itself, that our bodies and every breath in itself is a gift. And so it seems like we should be maybe a little more willing to say thank you and a little more willing to give and take, maybe a little more willing to discuss rather than fight. With the awareness of your presence, it seems that we might be more fascinated with life itself and more willing to explore and a little freer as to what we call ours and theirs, since all of it really is a gift from you. In this sense, help us as your people living on your planet to hold one another in the highest regard. Teach us to listen to one another as patiently as we listen to you and more. Teach us the art of compromise. Together, promise. Compromise and healing and peace and honesty in our dealings and compassion in our action. Give us the strength to say yes and to say no for the right reasons. Open our eyes to the plight of our neighbor and give us the resources not just to want to reach out, but to actually take the extra effort to reach out in ways that match our abilities. And as you keep us in your spirit, hear our prayers for those who are in our awareness, for those who have been killed or wounded by bullets or bombs, fighting in the streets, for those who somehow believe that this could ever lead to any kind of harmony, for those who meet around negotiating tables, for leaders of our country and leaders of nations all around the world, that they might act with wisdom. And for those who carry weapons, we pray that they might think and pray about their actions. And for those who are grieving and seeking healing from surgery and physical ills and wrestling with emotional scars and histories, and for those who are the caretakers of others in need, hear our prayers of strength, peace, grace, and healing, and motivate us, inspire us as your servants with your love. In Christ's spirit, we pray. Amen.